hilarious commercials.
You. And basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year. I know, right? Do you think I say I know right too often? I do. I know, right? I have to stop, don't I? I know.
And this is what that same commercial sounds like on your motorcycle. Even our commercials are better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Be there when the Tigers play the Texas Longhorns in Austin for the first time in history. LSU football takes to the road on September 7th to play in Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium for the first time in program history. 103.7 The Game and J.P. Thibodeau Honda Nissan Kia want to send you and a friend to catch every minute of the action. Register today in the 103.7 The Game clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com. For your chance to win. This Tiger Road trip includes two game day tickets, airfare from Baton Rouge to Austin, two nights at the Driscoll Hotel, transportation, and access to the pregame party. Winner will be drawn August 16th. The only way you can win is to register in the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com today. This Tiger Road trip to the University of Texas is powered by J.P. Thibodeau Honda Nissan Kia, celebrating 50 years in Acadiana. And Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game.
You have to be up in 5 hours. 2 hours. 6 minutes, and you haven't slept a wink. ZzzQuil Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette, 103.7 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. It's time for the 2-Minute Drill on 103.7 The Game, powered by Legends Bar and Grill.
Are we rolling?
Continue standing by.
Here's what's making news.
After a day off, the Houston Astros are in C-Town to begin a 3-game series against the Cleveland Indians with first pitch set for 6:10. And you'll hear all the action right here on 103.7 The Game, starting at straight up 6 o'clock. Justin Verlander, 13-4 with a 2.86 ERA, is getting the start for Houston, while the Tribe is rolling with Shane Bieber, 10-3 with a 3.44 ERA. Another related news, the Astros are engaged on a potential Madison Bumgarner trade, but the amount of traction is unclear, this coming from Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports. Day 5 of training camp is in the books for the New Orleans Saints, and the big takeaway from Tuesday's practice is that rookie wideout Emmanuel Butler exited practice early due to an awkward landing on a contested catch. It is encouraging, though, that he left the field without any assistance. We'll be sure to update the story as more information comes out. According to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, the Michael Thomas holdout could be coming to an end very soon, with the two parties nearing a deal. Of course, the reported value is $20 million over the course of 5 years, of paying out the former Ohio State Buckeye $100 million. And finally, the Acadiana Cane Cutters look good after a few days off with a dominant 9-1 win over the Texarkana Twins. The Cane Cutters will look to sweep the series tonight as they take on the Twins with first pitch set for 7 o'clock. For Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, I'm Clint Dumming. If you want more news, opinion, and on-demand audio, all you got to do is check out 103.7thegame.com.
This has been the 2-Minute Drill, powered by Legends, your favorite sports bar and grill, with 9 locations in Acadiana and the best happy hour in town. Find them at legendsoflafayette.com.
It's time to win again with 103.7 The Game's Swinging for Cash contest. Here's another keyword. Stadium. S-T-A-D-I-U-M. Stadium. Enter the keyword right now at 103.7thegame.com for a chance to win $1,000. Good luck, and keep listening for the next keyword on Acadiana Sports Station.
At Cajun Chef, we only use the finest products, like our pickled okra and spicy pickled green beans, seasoned with our special Cajun flavor. It's so great for that special Bloody Mary. For you pepper lovers, Cajun Chef has the right kind of jalapeno peppers with just the right amount of spiciness, and it's excellent to pair with some nachos. A little dab of their signature hot sauce can make any meal amazing. Why not try Cajun Chef? When you do, you'll agree Cajun Chef is not just deliciously different, it's decidedly better. Cajun Chef.
With football camps underway professionally and college teams getting ready to report, why not talk a little basketball and a little baseball? We'll hear from head coach Will Wade as he gets ready to send his team off to Spain. I wonder if I could get a ride. Paul Maneri has his State of the Union address and announces his team for the upcoming season. LSU gets a player in the 2019 class, previews the 2020 class, and already has a commitment in the 2021 class. We'll get a recruiting update, plus all the latest from Saints camp. Do we have you covered from A to Z? I think we do. Today, Tuesday, July 30th, 2019.
Hosmer swinging a line drive, well hit to right field. No chance, this ball is gone. A two-run blast for Eric Hosmer puts the Padres on top, 4-1.
Home with the 1-1. And Iglesias sends a fly. Deep right center field. On the run, Marte at the wall. He turns and looks. It is gone. Jose Iglesias with a grand slam. It is a 10-run Reds second inning.
Fernando Tatis Jr. leading off, of course. And the first pitch of the night for Hess is hit in the air to deep left. Santander going back, looking up, there it goes. A leadoff home run for Fernando Tatis Jr. The first pitch that Hess threw, and the Padres take a 1-0 lead.
I just like the music. I just want to hear the music. This is my generation. What you gonna do? Oh, yes. Good afternoon. CD going back in time. We got a trade deadline coming up in Major League Baseball. Anything going to happen? Anybody going to make a move? Pull the trigger? So far, very. These trade deadlines, much to do about nothing. Seriously. Much to do about nothing. Very seldom do you have basketball every now and then. You'll have a deal, but we'll see. We'll see what happens in Major League Baseball, but that's another story for maybe tomorrow at the deadline. We'll see. But CD, producer extraordinaire, in the master control suite in the 237 Roof Studios, on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, and Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, and around the world, 103.7thegame.com. National Wing Chicken Wing Day was yesterday. I don't know what today is, but I got my fill of them. But not like Joey Chestnut, who went like 12 straight hours of eating wings. I got to get Joey on the show. I got to do that. Anyway, what a big show we have planned for you and yours today, I believe. We try to do it every day, and I think today we did it. We've 5 days in the books with New Orleans Saints. They'll have a day off tomorrow. We'll have the very latest. We'll hear from Sean Payton. We'll hear from some of the Saints in this hour. And as LSU football gets ready to report on Thursday, it was time for some other coaches to get in their last words edgewise. And we'll hear from both of them. Will Wade will join us in this hour at about 2:30 to talk about his basketball program, to talk about they're getting ready to go in the middle of August on the trip of a lifetime. They're going to Spain. They're going to spend about 10 days out there. They're going to Madrid. They're going to Barcelona. They are going to Valencia. And this gives them, look, the players can't wait to go and see a place that they've never, I've never been to Spain, but they're getting ready to go see a place that they, that only basketball would allow them to do. But the coaches love the fact that they get 10 practices. They love them some practice. And so we'll talk to Will Wade about his goals, his expectations, and all that. Looking forward to talking to Will. He met with the media at around 11 o'clock today. At noon, Palmieri met with the media to discuss his upcoming baseball team. You lose some players to graduation. You lose some players to the MLB draft. Some people transfer. You change some coaches. So it's a new-look roster. There's some familiar faces on there, but there's some big voids there, and Palmieri will join us at the bottom of this hour. We'll spend 10 good minutes with the coach. It's his last addressing of the media till fall starts down the road. So we look forward to talking with him. That's just hour number one. Just hour number one. We'll get to hour number two later. How about that? CD, you like the lineup today, my friend. You as a producer, are you pleased?
You know, it definitely is a really strong lineup when you just got Will Wade and Paul Benary both within the same hour. It is incredibly strong.
How about that? Jeff Duncan will join us in hour number two. He's with The Athletic. You know, this is quite a thing. I think it's the new way of journalism now. It's online journalism. They got over 500,000 subscribers already. Let's just say you put that at about $60 a month times five. That's 30 million right there. So it's amazing the way this industry is going. I am thrilled to be on this radio show and doing what we do. The PGA Tour the cut line has been reduced. So they've been letting too many players get on and do some things, but now golf is changing things up a little bit. It's going to be a little bit tougher making the cut. How about that? The cut line is now 65. I like that. Houston back in action tonight. They take on the Cleveland Indians. Ahead of the New York Yankees in the win total, the Yankees hosting the Arizona club, Diamondbacks, today as Major League Baseball continues. I saw Zion Williamson shoot a basketball and then throw a football. He's got a good arm, but he couldn't beat Drew Brees. They went into overtime in the quarterback challenge. It was Saints quarterbacks with special guests Alvin Kamara and Zion Williamson. They went into overtime. The three ball was the clincher. All the quarterbacks missed the three ball except one. Alvin Kamara missed the three ball. Zion Williamson missed the three ball. The only quarterback to hit the three-pointer, guess who? Any doubts? Drew Brees. They do this quarterback challenge after every practice, and they get very creative, very innovative, and it's kind of fun. It's just fun. It takes out the doldrums of everyday practice. So they do it, and Drew Brees wins it 90% of the time. So practices are in the books. They're going to take a day off. We'll hear from Will Wade. We'll hear from some of the Saints when we return, and then we'll get to Will Wade. We'll get to Palmieri. We've got some recruiting news. We'll hear more from Saints camp from a first-person perspective, and we'll do some history lessons. We'll do some birthday wishes. We got it all for you. Today, Tuesday, the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station. Come on back.
You're listening to the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Arco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
All right, 15 minutes after the hour. Let's get some Saints news for you and yours. Coming up shortly, Will Wade will join us talking about his basketball team. Says it's the strongest, healthiest team he's ever had coming out of a summer. And Paul Manero will join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about he's got a couple of new lefties on his staff. He's got a new hitting coach that he's very excited about, and we'll talk with Paul Maneri about all of that. Saints news today, former LSU Tiger Trayvon Doral has re-signed with the Saints. He was on the practice field today. He was making some plays. Taysom Hill threw a deep ball to Doral, always known for his speed, for a big game. Emmanuel Butler nicked up a little bit. That's what happens when you have four or five straight days of camp. That's why they need a day off, a break, and they'll get that tomorrow. But one of the Saints that they're counting on to make that big leap in his second season is Tre'Quan Smith. He was the recipient of the record breaker for Drew Brees. Took it in for a touchdown. Here's Tre'Quan talking about how much better he feels now, year two.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, I don't have to think about my splits anymore, you know, when I'm running out there. I already know, you know, based off of some play calls, what my split's going to be. So I feel way more comfortable, which allows me to play it at 100% instead of, you know, versus last year I was playing at 80 because, you know, I'm not knowing what to do. I'm sure about what to do.
Yeah, you know, I've always said when you have to think, you're a step or two behind. When you just react, that's when you're at your full speed. That and, as Tre'Quan said, I kind of know the signals now.
Last year playing as a rookie, it was hard because I just wanted to go off the play call that was in the books. You know, not knowing that he's going to give me a different signal that we didn't go over, you know, during the game plan. But, you know, but playing with Drew, he expects you to know that, and your coaches expect you to know that because, you know, my coaches, CJ and RC, they know how Drew is. They know he's, you know, he's potentially going to cause something, you know, different if he sees it on the field. So, you know, that's really expected out of the receiving corps. And, you know, last year I wasn't really expecting that. I was just trying to focus on, you know, the play call in hand.
Teddy Ginn, Tre'Quan Smith, who's going to be the guy? And, you know, Michael Thomas is going to show up. And as Clint said earlier in his update, they feel like that thing's going to close up pretty quickly and get him in camp with the deal. I noticed Julio Jones, that came out with the Atlanta Falcons for the second straight season, will not play in a preseason game. Doesn't need to. Neither does Michael Thomas. But you want him in camp to do the reps. The practice reps, that's what you want them in there for. They don't need to play in the preseason. Preseason games are so overrated. I hate them. I've said that forever. Hate them. I think they're ridiculous. College football doesn't have a preseason game. They just tee it up and they play. Every game counts. And they've got newcomers that have to come in and learn, just like Saints have new players that have to come in and learn. I think preseason games are a joke, but, hey, it is what it is. One newcomer for the Saints that has turned some heads. It's on the defensive side. We didn't like him back in the day. Now we love him because he's a Saint, but he used to be a Florida Gator, and that's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who describes the best part of his game.
Being versatile and just being inside, sometimes being high in the middle of the field, sometimes being outside. But of course, they just line me up and just ready to go out there and compete.
Just go out there and compete. They competed against LSU. And look, it's a learning curve. There is no question about that. And the secondary is a very high visible position on the field. You make a mistake there, and it's a touchdown. And Chauncey Gardner, I'm gonna call him CGJ. CGJ takes it personally when he commits an error.
I take it personally when I mess up, because if you don't take it personally, then you're in the wrong business. And I know you're not supposed to dwell on last play, but I'm trying to go out there and be the best. I'm not trying to go out and be average. I'm not on the average team, so I got to do what I got to do.
Got to do what I got to do, and that's to make the team and make an impact. It's not like college. This isn't a rah-rah situation. This is all business.
It's business, but also family. You know, ain't no one guy worried about one thing. You know, everybody see us around the team. Everybody thought it won't happen last year, but since I've been here, you know, the team, nobody really talked about it. Everybody's uplifting rookies. You know, I hang with Cameron Jordan and Craig Robinson a lot. And I don't just hang with DBs. I hang with guys, you know, that actually help me. So being around other guys in the locker room, also offensive guys, it just shows that this team is more than just about just winning. It's about being a family.
Leadership, family, business-like atmosphere. I believe the Saints could go out and play today. They've got so much experience, on this lineup. Now, one guy that the reason why they have to have these practices is they've got to find a center. If you take a picture of Drake and you put it side by side with DJ Khaled, fuse them together, I'm telling you, it's Eric McCoy, who's battling for the center position. He's an old-looking rookie. He just is. And he talks about the learning process in training camp.
Not necessarily. It's just a lot of learning still, kind of like OTAs. I'm just out here competing, trying to get better.
Trying to compete, trying to get better. He and Nick Easton going head up for that position of the center spot, and he talks about the battle to earn that honor.
We're really just iron sharpens iron type deal. We're supporting each other, and we're just all really focusing on what we can do to help this team get better.
All right. Now, head coach Sean Payton, the big story yesterday was the release of Cam Meredith. Here's Sean Payton talking about why they did it.
The injury he had set him back, and then some of these younger guys now have just been, you know, doing a good enough job, and it's hard with the numbers. You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, he's someone that has worked hard, he's worked his tail off, and yet, it was going to be hard for him to catch this group of younger guys that are competing.
All right, that's such a positive sign to me. There's no way they'd have let Cam Meredith go if they didn't say, you know what, this guy's better. I don't care if he's healthy or not. If he's healthy, this guy's better than Cam Meredith. Meredith's never been available. He's always been hurt. But if they didn't have the guys that could replace him, he'd still be on this team. We heard from CGJ, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, earlier. Here's head coach Sean Payton talking about him and the other rookie defensive back, Saquon Hampton.
Yeah, look, the versatility, I think, is important. You know, Chauncey gives you that ability to play over the nickel. And I know he's a safety, and yet we see him more inside than outside. And Hampton, clearly, we see as a safety. So I think the versatility and their ability to learn and play several spots. But Chauncey, we saw, you know, a nickel vision.
And don't ever underestimate special teams for both of those guys. That's where they're going to make their mark and make their money early. But when you have contracts coming up for Avon Bell and others, it's nice to have these young guys on these small contracts because you're going to have to pay people like Alvin Kamara. Right, you're going to have to pay him eventually. He doesn't have his sidekick, Mark Ingram, anymore. People are wondering, you know, what's going to how much of a workload can Alvin Kamara have with that slight frame that he has? And here's Sean Payton talking about just that information.
Well, it's look, some games take place, and the numbers might be higher. I don't really look at the other comparisons. I look really more on, you know, how we're doing. And so I think based on the game we're in, we're not afraid to play him more snaps or get more touches. And yet when you get into the length of the season we have, we think he does a lot of things exceptionally well. So I think the question was, you know, what new things? Well, there's a lot that you mess with and tinker with, but the versatility that he's playing with now and the level at which he's playing with, I'm pleased with.
And he's one of those guys that, you know, You just don't get a really clean, hard hit on him, right? You just don't. He just knows how to maneuver that body, get out of bounds when you have to, hit the deck when you have to, and avoid those huge collisions that a lot of running backs get. It also helps him that Drew Brees has another weapon in the passing game, and that's the tight end in Jared Cook. Sean Payton likes what he's seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing you see with Cooks is his stature. You know, a lot of times you talk about a big target, and there is a confidence level when you throw it to someone who's that tall and who's got really good hands. So they've been able to make some good plays. You know, he's smart, and he's picked things up to his credit in the spring, and now you're starting to see some of the plays that take place. So that's encouraging.
It's encouraging, opens up the field a little bit. One of the things that was concerning to many people, that the Saints have had back-to-back seasons where they've had just a heart-wrenching win taken away from them. Minnesota and, of course, the Rams. Sean Payton talked about how do you sustain success.
I think it's high each year. I mean, I think our expectations and what we want to achieve from a season hopefully are high. So I think winning in our league is difficult, and you know, getting to that consistency and you know, I've got a tape I just put together. Shoot, there's five or six games a year ago that were inside a touchdown. You know, it's kind of what's the difference in an 8-8, 7-9 season to a 12-13 win season? Is probably you're going to play five or six of those games that are within a score. You know, and you got to find a way to win more of those than you don't.
In your opinion.
So there you hear Sean Payton. Practice is in the books. They'll take a day off. We'll hear much more about the Saints up close and personal with Jeff Duncan in hour number two at around 3:30. Jeff Duncan with The Athletic. But we're going to switch gears now. We're going to talk some basketball when we come back. Will Wade will join us. His Tigers are heading off to Spain. He likes his team. They're bigger. They're stronger. They're healthier. They're taller and longer than you think. And boy, does he have a backcourt. Maybe, just maybe, the best backcourt in college basketball. When you have that, you got a chance. You really, really do. Will Wade joins us next here, the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helpert Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. And on the free mobile app.
And we welcome you back. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show. And yes, we are at the end of July. But in the middle of August, LSU basketball is going to have a phenomenal experience as they'll get to bond and get to form their identity as they head to Spain for about 10 days. They're getting ready to start practicing for it now. So I thought, what a great time to catch up with the head coach of the Tigers, Coach Will Wade, who's kind enough to join us prior to practice. Coach, you ever been to Spain before?
It's funny. I'm taking the exact same trip this year that I took with my last VCU team about 3 years ago. We got the same tour guide, same host, same everything. So
nice.
It's a great trip. Our guys will really, really enjoy it. And it's somewhere that I'm certainly familiar with, same hotels, same everything. So it'll be a fun trip. It'll be a great time for our players and for our guys, and something that we're looking forward to.
God, that's awesome. You going to change up any of the restaurants? Because some of them may not have been too good. You may have to change a little bit.
There's one or two changes that we're going to make. One of them actually was based on a little service issue we had, but yeah, we're going to change a few of them off, but. For the most part, it was a tremendous trip, an awesome trip, and we're looking forward to heading back.
As a coach, I know you love. Look, it's a great opportunity for your kids, but I know you love the opportunity of getting practices in before you really could if you weren't going there. So, what is your purpose? What is your objective here as you get ready? What, 10 practices or so?
Yeah, it's exactly right. The players obviously look forward to the trip to Spain. The coaches are typically much more excited about the 10 practice days we get. So we get 10 days to practice. We're going to go twice a day on five of the days and once a day on the other five. But really, you know, this summer we've done a good job kind of laying the foundation for who we want to be as a team, how we want to play. I think over the course of these practices and as we go to Spain, it's about building an identity, making sure our identity is one of a championship, blue-collar, relentless program that cares about each other. So, I think that's really the goal over the 10 days is just to come out of here with an identity as a team for this year's team and to build on the foundation and to build on the habits that we've been working on all summer.
Will Way, kind enough to join us. I've got to believe that you know what Skylar Mays can do. You know what Javonte Smart can do. I got to believe this is a great opportunity to see how your newcomers and maybe some of your veterans who are going to have to step into different roles because Naz is gone, Tremont Waters is gone, Cavell's gone. I would imagine that's their opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, I was just saying that earlier, I know what Javonte can do. I know what Skylar can do. I got no interest in playing them 30, 35 minutes a game and watching them run around out there. I know exactly what I'm going to get from those two when the lights come on and it's a real game. And so, I am very interested in how does, James Bishop's been just phenomenal in practice, one of our freshmen. I mean, he's been everything we could have hoped and more. Now, how's he going to react in a game situation? How's Charles Manning going to react? How's Trendon Watford going to react? Darius Days has made some big jumps from his freshman year where he was more of a spot minute guy and, quite frankly, a role player, and he's going to play a much more prominent role this season. So how's he going to react in those game situations? Can he play without fouling, which was something that really hurt him last year? Emmett Williams has had as good a summer as anybody for us, and he's going to take on a much more, much more amplified role with our team. And so how's he going to play in extended minutes? So I'm very excited about those guys, getting Cortez Cooper out on the court a little bit, getting Andre Hyatt out there some. So excited to see how those guys react, see how those guys play in live game situations. And like I said, when we get back to the PMAC on November 8th, we know what Javonte and Skylar can do. I think we've got as good a backcourt as anybody in the country.
I agree.
With those two. And so really it's about adding depth and finding some other guys that can play and see how they react in game situations.
Not being biased, but being an ex-backcourt guy, I've always said if you got a great backcourt, boy, you can do a lot of things. But everybody kind of asks me, where's the size? But you guys are big. You got a big lineup, right?
Well, I mean, yes. We could start a lineup today that's 5 inches taller than the lineup that Auburn started to go the Final Four this year. So, I mean, we don't necessarily have, a big 6'10 kid down low, so to speak, but we'll be bigger at the guard spot. We'll be bigger on the wings. There's ways to compensate for that. We're going to play a lot faster. We're going to play with better pace. We're going to run a little bit more. Motion offense and try to spread the court out a little bit, open up the lane a little bit so we can drive it. So there's certainly some areas that we need to improve and we need to get better. And I think, with the lineups that we have, last year, if you shut down our ball screen stuff, we were pretty much a one trick pony. We were pretty easy to guard if you could shut down our ball screen stuff. I think we're going to continue to do some of the ball screen stuff, but we're going to add to it with some motion and some different concepts that'll hopefully make us a lot more difficult to guard and lead to us, scoring even more and playing even faster than we've played.
Man, I'm really excited about this year's basketball team. But I've heard now you always do self-evaluations. You always go out and study other programs and other things to get better. Now I'm told you're studying soccer teams. What in the heck are you doing, Coach?
Well, I felt like last year we wore down. We had some soft tissue issues, injuries at the end of the year, which allowed our guys, didn't allow our guys to play at their best. The soccer, the best soccer teams in the world, they're the best at managing bodies and managing minutes and that sort of thing. And so we did an in-depth study this spring about those teams and about how they recover, how they train, how they add weight, how they go about things. So we changed our training regimen, we changed our nutrition plan, we changed a lot of things to try to emulate what they do, and I've been very, very pleased so far with our results, and I think we've had as good a summer. Actually, we've had the best summer since I've been here at LSU and the best summer since I've been a head coach in terms of our guys making gains and our guys staying healthy and being in a position where they're going to be able to help us hopefully for the for the entire season.
Head Coach Will Wade, kind enough to join us. Look, there's been a lot of talk about the Football Operations Center and what a magnificent place that is, and the Nutrition Center and all the improvements that have been made there. Look, as good as things are, the basketball facility needs some work, too. And I know you're heavily involved in that. How they don't have coaches' offices in there, how they don't have a weight room in there is beyond me. But how is that progress going for you?
Well, we're making progress. You know, obviously we always want things to go quicker than they go. But we're certainly making progress. I had some meetings yesterday with folks at TAF and, about, about the project and about the facility and getting this thing moving and trying to speed things up quite a bit. So, I feel good about the progress we're making, and we've just got to keep plugging along, keep getting, keep chipping away at it. We've got about 25% of the money raised that we need, or we got 25% of the money pledged that we need. And obviously we've got 75% out there. So we got to go be aggressive and try to knock this out here in the next couple months.
That'd be awesome. Well deserved and well needed. All right, give me some of the cities. Or where are you going to be staying in Spain as we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, we're going to go to Madrid, Valencia, and Barcelona. So a lot of people have heard of Madrid and Barcelona, obviously, but Valencia, my team at VCU love Valencia. It's kind of like Miami. It's right on the water.
Nice.
We stay on the beach. It's really, really nice. So I think our guys will enjoy that, and I think we'll have a great trip. And looking forward to these practices as we head over there, and then watching our guys enjoy a different culture and being out of the country.
And the players, the newcomers, get to see Will Wade, the coach. I mean, when they're being recruited, They're terrific. Everything is great. Now, sometimes you got to get a little tough on them, and so it takes some adjusting. So that's another part of this aspect that maybe people don't understand.
Yeah, they've seen Will Wade the coach in practice, but they're going to get to see Will Wade the coach in a game at this point. But it'll be good, and our freshmen are very coachable, and I don't think there'll be any problems with that.
No problem. All right. Well, all the seats taken, or can you? You know, you need a valet or anything like that, I'll be glad to help out.
Come on and join us. Come on and join us. It's fun trip.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I know you got to get to practice, but all the best, and enjoy your second visit to Madrid and Barcelona and Valencia. Not a bad gig, man. Not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig at all. It's amazing what basketball will do for you and where it'll take you. And we're excited about the trip and looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
I will. Take care. Will Wade, the head coach of the LSU Tigers, getting ready to get to practice. They head to Spain in the middle of August for 10 days. What a great adventure for everyone involved in the program. Not bad. And we greatly appreciate Will with his time on a very, very busy day. We'll take a time out here. We'll come back with more. This is the Jordy Helfert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers, and it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Speaking of newsmakers, that's what we've got now, because he had his annual kind of State of the Union address to introduce his upcoming team, and that's the head coach of the LSU Tiger baseball team, Paul Maneri, who's kind enough to join us for 10 good minutes today. Paul, how do you feel after what? How many of these speeches have you given? About 27, 28, 30? How many?
Well, I'll tell you, Jordy, you know, the summers are a unique time for a baseball coach because you're dealing with the disappointment of the season ending, you know, the previous year, and especially if you didn't get to Omaha or win the national championship. But then you have to deal with the professional draft and know whether or not your efforts that you put into recruiting are going to pay off, whether the players are even going to show up. And then you just start to prepare your team, you know, prepare your planning, I guess I should say, mm-hmm. for your next year's team. And so that's kind of where we are today. You know, the deadline is passed for Major League Baseball to sign their draft choices. And so now we have a pretty good idea what our roster is going to look like. So this is what we do is right before football begins, we have one last press conference and just kind of announce our new roster and some about our new recruiting class and some of the new players that are coming in. And yeah, it's kind of nice, you know, to sit down with the media and have a little chat. And then it's nice to get it over with and know that you're not going to have to deal with the media until next spring. except you, of course.
Well, let the truth be told. I don't blame you. I really don't blame you. Let me tell you this. If I were to tell you that, and I'm knocking on wood, because I think the bad part is behind you. Cole Henry, Jaden Hill, Landon Marceau, all healthy, all together for each Friday, Saturday, Sunday rotation in the SEC. You'll go to battle with those three, won't you?
Well, that's an exciting thought. I'll tell you that, Jordy. We wish we would have had that this year, because if those three kids would have had a full, healthy year under their belts, man, I'd be going into this year saying we got as good a rotation as anybody in the league. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you know, we don't know their health, number one. Jaden Hill still hasn't thrown a ball since, you know, he's been hurt. He's going to start throwing on August 11th. Cole Henry, of course, got shut down in his last game. And Landon, you know, had some moments when he wasn't feeling great. So, you know, health is a big question. But if they are healthy and they're pitching like they can and they get the experience, you know, that's the thing that they lost out on was the experience of a full year. But if they can come along the way I think that they're capable of, that'll give us a really good, solid rotation.
You got some pitchers coming back. You lose a pretty good set of some players in DePlantis and Watson and Smith. But that's why you recruit, and that's why you keep getting these top recruiting classes. What do you think of the prospects of replacing three pretty good players in their time?
Well, you know, when they leave, Jordy, a piece of you leaves with them. And, you know, it's always sad, but you know, this is the way life is. You know, the clock never stops turning. And players come, players go, and they go on with the rest of their lives. But, you know, we still have to have a good team at LSU. Everybody holds me accountable to have a good team each and every year. So yeah, that's why you recruit, and that's why you restock. This year's recruiting class primarily emphasized position players, whereas last year was primarily pitching. Hopefully by next year it'll be a combination of the two. But this year I think we brought in some really good position players. I'm real excited about three infielders that we have coming in. All of them were drafted. Cade Doty out of Denham Springs High School I think is going to be a really good player for us. And then we picked up two players this summer that were actually drafted in June and had signed with other schools. But when those other schools decided to let their head coaches go, these two young men asked for their release from their national letters of intent, and they ended up signing with us. So their names are Zach Arnold from San Diego area and Zach Mathis from the Stockton, California, Northern California area. So we've got three infielders coming in that were all drafted. So obviously somebody thinks something of them, and they could end up making a big difference. We got two new catchers that are coming in that I really like, and then four outfielders that I think have a chance to do something special. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. We got a lot of work to do between now and next February when we open up the season, but it should be a fun time putting this team together.
Paul Manieri, kind enough to join us. I love it. You got a couple of left-handers this year on your pitching staff. Tell me about them. What do you like about them?
Well, you know, one of them was on our staff last year. He was just hurt all year, Easton McMurray. So we need him to get back to being healthy. And then we brought in a lefty by the name of Jacob Hasty out of the Fort Worth area. And Jacob is, I'm real excited about him. I mean, he's got a really good curveball. He throws 90, 92 miles an hour. I think he's got a lot of versatility. He could pitch out of the bullpen. He could be a starter. And I'm hoping we're going to add one more left-handed pitcher. I could not announce him today because he is in summer school and he has to graduate from the junior college to be eligible, and we're not allowed to publicize somebody that is not officially in school yet. But we're hoping to add one more left-handed pitcher. It was something that, you know, we never thought we'd be in a position, but the year before we had three or four guys, and, you know, that just didn't work out as well as we would have hoped that it would. And they ended up leaving, and so it kind of left us shorthanded there. And I think it hurt us at times, in all honesty, Jordy. So hopefully we won't be in that same position this year. We'll have at least a couple of guys that we can go to.
Tell me about the Rudy of baseball, Eddie Smith. He said you somebody said you were mesmerized by his organizational skills.
Well, you know, Eddie is a really intelligent young man. He walked onto the baseball team at Notre Dame. I loved him when he was with me as a player. That would have been, 15 and 16 years ago. He was, you know, just a gritty, hard-nosed, do-anything-for-the-team kind of guy, very unselfish player. And then he went into a career in coaching, and I knew he'd make a great coach. And now here he is 35 years old, you know, all these years later, 15 years later, whatever, and he's had a nice track record. He helped at the University of Virginia. He helped at Santa Clara, Notre Dame, obviously Tulane, and he's been a head coach. He was an excellent head coach for 4 years in junior college. And I just think he's very organized. He knows what he wants to do. He's an excellent coach. The players are going to love him. And I think he's going to make a big difference for our team. As the hitting coach, by the way.
Yeah. As the hitting coach. And hopefully he brings that same enthusiasm as Rudy Rudiger did for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team. And I'm sure he will. So now you get to breathe and rest and relax a little bit. But the pressure's always on. And I know you amaze me. You've been doing this a long time. Every time I do this with you, you sound more enthusiastic. And it's like you want to go play tomorrow. That's the impression I get. I may be wrong, but that's the impression by your enthusiasm, or it's the fact that you don't have to talk to the media for several months now. I don't know which one to choose.
Jordy, honestly, when I lose my enthusiasm for it, I know that it'll be time to call it a career, and I'm not ready to call it a career yet. You know, I think I got a few more good years in me, and I still love working with the young players. I love the excitement of molding a new team. I know the pressure is always going to be here.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes you feed off that pressure and it's fun. It makes every day exciting. And sometimes it wears you down a little bit. I got to be honest with you because, you know, some people just are never going to be satisfied. And I understand that's the way it is. And sometimes, you know, you get a little tired of that. But, hey, listen, my father gave me the greatest advice that a father could ever give a son many years ago. And he told me that the only person you have to answer to is the person that you look in the mirror at every morning.
There you go.
And that's kind of how I've lived my life. You know, I know if I worked hard and if I did a good job, and I know if I didn't. So I don't worry too much about the pressure.
You shouldn't. Paul, Will Wade's got a couple of seats. They're going to Spain to play basketball. You don't have to go to the game. Just bring your lovely wife and go to Madrid and Barcelona and Valencia and drink some wine and have some fun. But thanks for the time. I'm not going to bother you until you tell me to. How about that?
Jordy, come on. You know how I feel about you. And really, I have a great relationship with the media here.
I know.
It's
the
nice
best.
To have a little bit of a break.
Absolutely. Enjoy the break. That's Paul Mineri. That's going to wrap up our number one. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two on this Tuesday, the 30th day of July. Hope you're having a fabulous afternoon. Thanks so much for making us a part of it. CD back in the 237 Roof Studios, the master control suite. He's the stick that stirs the drink. Yours truly here, Studio 1A, a busy second hour planned for you and yours. We'll talk recruiting with Sonny Shipp of Go 247 Sports. Jeff Duncan of The Athletic will join us to talk about day five. Five days of Saints training camp, and we'll share his assessment of things. CBS Sports has what they call the CBS Sports 130. They rank 130 college football teams from best to worst. They came out with their top 10 today. Notre Dame's at number 10, Texas at number 9, an LSU opponent. Florida at number 8, an LSU opponent. Michigan at 7. The LSU Tigers coming in at number 6, just like they ended the AP regular season poll. That's where CBS Sports have them in their preseason poll. Ohio State 5, Georgia 4, Oklahoma 3, Alabama 2, and Clemson number 1. So take it for what it's worth. Without further ado, let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, Mr. Domain, it's your ticket. You punch it, Bubby. What you got?
Jordy, we got a lot to get to. And at the beginning of the show, you talked about how yesterday was National Chicken Wing Day, and you weren't sure what today was. Well, I hit up the Google machine and wound up finding out today is National Cheesecake Day, Jordy. Not quite as great as Chicken Wing Day, but cheesecake.
Cheesecake?
Cheesecake, not half bad.
What's your favorite topping on cheesecake?
Oh, boy. I that's a good question, man. I haven't had cheesecake in a while, but definitely it's just whatever when it comes to cheesecake. It's always some really good stuff. But my question to you, Jordy, is I haven't been to Baton Rouge in a hot minute. Isn't there a cheesecake factory over there?
Used to be, but no longer. No. But I'm a blueberry guy. Okay. I am a blueberry on top of the cheesecake guy. Yes.
All right, Jordy, now we got to kind of start talking about actual sports. And my goodness, we've got a lot to get to. And starting things off, this is something that kind of flew under the radar for me with a Louisiana judge ordering Roger Goodell and the referees to be questioned under oath about the NFC title game no call. Is this the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? Like having them actually appear at court for this?
That's a New Orleans judge who's a big, longtime Saints fan. It's the most absurd thing. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's just a flat-out waste. Just let it go, please. You don't want that hanging over as a new season's about to start. Let it go.
I have to agree, Jordy. Let it go. I don't know why I even got to that point, Jordy, to have it be a situation where you're dealing with a lot of the evidence and whatnot. It feels like this should have been taken care of, and you shut it down before it even gets to this point in time. But moving on, Jordy, we got to talk a little NBA.
Exactly.
And that involves LeBron James. The man has definitely been having a lot of fun. Lost his mind seeing his son, Bronny, getting things done. Was in a pregame layup line with just a phenomenal throwdown dunk. But my question to you, Jordy, is this, like all the celebration he had with Bronny doing some really good stuff. From a dad's perspective, were you okay with that?
No, not really. If any other parent, they would have been kicked out of the gym, but it's LeBron. I mean, Look, I love the fact that he is supporting his son. He's there all the time. He's watching him play, and that's great. Just be a parent. Sit in the stands like everybody else. Clap your hands. Cheer your son on. Cheer his team on. I can't imagine what it's like to be LeBron's son, the pressure that goes along with that. But running on the court and losing your shoe and dancing and all that's – no, LeBron, come on. Sit down, relax, let your son enjoy the spotlight, not the spotlight put on you again. You got plenty of time for that.
He definitely has quite a lot of time for that, Jordy. While we're still a ways away from the NBA season, LeBron James has to make some headlines somehow, some way. Meanwhile, Jordy, the Oakland Raiders, nothing short of headline makers. I think the latest one winds up scratching the head a little bit, and that is about one Nathan Peterman, a man that wound up somehow, some way, being considered a solid, reliable quarterback. And Jordy, John Gruden had this to say about the backup quarterback and the ongoing NFL meme, Nathan Peterman.
This Nate Peterman is growing on me. He's athletic. I know he's had some nightmare performances in the NFL, but when you watch the film, you can see why. It's not all his fault. But he's got some talent. He's got some athleticism. He has some experience. Here's an opening day starter for the Buffalo Bills last year. I take that very serious. And he's smart. He's done a good job. He's been consistent. And I think he's starting to get his confidence back.
Like, bad performances is an understatement, yeah. Jordy, what we saw with Nathan Peterman.
There you go.
Just amazing to see what's going on with John Gruden being all in on Nathan Peterman. Does Nathan Peterman even play a snap in the 2019 season?
No, he'll play in the preseason. And I think all Nathan Peterman wants to do is hold a clipboard and get paid for it. I'm all for second chances and third chances and all that. If, you know, change the scenery, a new coach who believes he is like the quarterback whisperer, then good for him. And if Peterman makes it, good for him. I mean, great. He's had a tough go of it. No question about that.
I have to agree with you, Jordy. Definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with Nate Peterman, John Gruden. Going to be fun to see what happens over the next several weeks as we get closer and closer to the start of preseason. More importantly, once Hard Knocks get started up, because you know John Gruden might want to make him the centerpiece of a lot of stories,
yeah,
based on what you're seeing. When does Hard Knocks start, by the way? Does it start this week or next week?
I was gonna ask you. You're my TV guy. I don't know. Find out. Google it. Let me know.
All right, hold on. I'll pull it up, and I'll probably get to it right before we wrap up the program. But, of course, I have to say, Jordy, looking forward to
it.
Right before we got to wrap up.
But Jordy, I'll tell you, you do that while I tell everybody about Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet, the Biard family right there in St. Martinville, for nearly 9 decades have been putting out the best hot sauce on the planet. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a little bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it.
When is Tuesday.
Atta boy. We'll be back recruiting with Sonny Ship. Go to 247 Sports next.
Around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and
who's got game and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.
All right, well, it seems like every day there's another announcement when it comes to recruiting for LSU, and yesterday was certainly no exception. A new recruit for the class of 2021, but it seems like every year now there's something new. There's an addition in 2019. We just saw Jaquelin Roy in 2020, and now a new kid in 2021. So I got to go to the godfather of recruiting. Been doing it longer than anyone, and I say that with nothing but respect and affection. That is Sonny Ship of Go247 Sports, who's kind enough to join us. Sonny, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. How's it going, Jordy?
Everything is good. Let's kind of work in order, if you don't mind. I see one of the holdouts of the 2019 classes is coming back in town. What's that all about?
Yeah, Sonny Finua, the junior college signee. He wasn't able to report at the beginning of summer because he had some obligations that he had to finish at junior college to graduate and everything. But I talked to him last night, and he is on. He's going to be leaving Arizona on Wednesday morning to make the drive down from Arizona, and he'll report on Thursday when the players report. And that's good for LSU because, you know, you're talking about a 6'4", 280, 285 pounder who played some outside linebacker, stood up rushing the passer, also put his hand in the dirt, and that, you know, at 280, 285 right now, he's already in that mold. You know, he's probably about 5 pounds lighter than Braden Fajoko right now. And so, you know, some people pegged him as a guy who was going to play outside linebacker at, you know, 255, 260 pounds. But there's a much bigger need for defensive ends at LSU right now than it is for outside linebackers. So him bulking up like that is good. And I think he's a guy that once he gets acclimated to the heat and humidity down here, probably going to take him a couple, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 games into the season. But I think he's a guy that's going to be able to give them some quality SEC reps.
Very good. So you can never have enough of those biggins on the defensive line. You've been around recruiting for a long time. You know of the talent in the state of Louisiana. How significant was the news over the weekend of Jaquelin Roy turning down A&M, turning down Alabama, and coming to LSU?
Huge on multiple fronts. You know, first and foremost, after LSU came up short in its quest for defensive ends in the 2019 class, you're helping to address a big need that you have in this 2020 class. You're getting a guy, Jaquelin Roy, who's number 46 in the country overall, number 5 defensive tackle at 290 pounds, a very lean 290 pounds. You're getting a guy who's going to be able to step in, you know, with LSU losing Braden Fajoko, Rashard Lawrence, possibly Glenn Logan if he has a huge year this year. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about all of a sudden your defensive end depth. You've got Neil Farrell coming back, Sony Fanua, and then a bunch of youngsters. And so getting a guy like Roy, who I think he's the type of player who's going to play as a true freshman, who has a chance to make an early impact at LSU. It's big in that regard. But then also from a perception standpoint, you beat Alabama for the state's top-ranked player at a need position, and that's something that LSU has come up short with, you know, going against Alabama in some head-to-head battles of late. We could talk about Fedarian Mathis out of Neville, Ishmael Sopcher out of A-Meet last year, Isaiah Bugs, who was a JUCO kid, but who played at Ruston, and so that's another Louisiana guy that LSU came up short for against Alabama. And so from a perception standpoint, it's really, really big, and I think that, you know, I think that it's going to give Ed Orgeron and his staff some momentum in some of these head-to-head battles, that if they can end that 8-game losing skid on the gridiron, on the field, then I think that's going to help them even more when you look at some of these other head-to-head battles that you know they're going to have coming up in the rest of 2020 and then the years to come.
Sonny Shipp, go to 47 Sports. So 19 gets a kid coming in. 20 gets the top kid in the state of Louisiana. And already LSU gets their first commitment for the class of 2021. Who in the heck is Landon Watson? Where's he from? Tell me all about him.
Yeah, 6'3". They've got him listed at 240 pounds right now. And he's in Tom Herman's backyard, right outside of Austin. And so that's a big get right there. You know, especially when you're talking about, you know, we're talking about a kid who was listed at 240 pounds as a sophomore. So the chances of him adding another 15 to 20 pounds, being in that 260 range before he leaves for college, I think that's pretty realistic, you know, possibly even bigger than that. Once he gets to LSU, all of a sudden you could be talking about a 280, 285 pounder, you know, that could be in that same mold as Sony Fanua, as a guy who played standing up at times, who, if he didn't gain any weight, he could be an outside linebacker. But I think there's a much better chance of him being able to put on anywhere from 30 to 40 pounds and being that defensive end, that kind of a newer frame defensive end that LSU is going to start, wanting to have. Now, I don't think they want those 300-pounders like they've had in the past. Ed Orgeron has talked about his defensive linemen, that he wants them to attack more. He wants them to be able to rush the passer more, to make more plays. And to do that, you've got to have, the 315-pound Rashard Lawrence that you saw last year, or that he was listed at on the roster, those are not the type of players who are going to come in and who are going to make those plays that Ed Orgeron was talking about. Those are the guys who are going to occupy the double teams and let the linebackers roam and make the plays. But I think you're going to start seeing some, and I think you're going to see it starting with this team right here, a slimmed down version of defensive linemen.
Sonny Shipp, the godfather of recruiting with Go247 Sports, kind enough to join us. All right, back to this class of 2019. Boy, they filled up a lot of spots already. What is it, 22 out of 25 that they've got committed? In a perfect world, what do you see as they, if everybody stays committed, and I know that's the possibility of that's probably far-fetched, but with three remaining spots, where do they go? What do they do?
And we're talking 2020, right? Because I know it gets confusing.
I'm sorry, 2020, yeah,
it gets confusing.
Yes.
You talk 2019 season, 2020 class, but
right.
Yeah. And
right.
22 right now, I think out of the 22, I think the number of guys that they actually have who will sign, I think it's probably closer to 19.
Okay.
I think by the time you take academics into question, into the picture, when you look at some of the at some of the guidelines that LSU sets, and one thing that Ed Orgeron and his staff really does a good job of, it started under Frank Wilson and it's continued under Orgeron, is when they take a commitment, they do a good job of laying out the ground rules. You're not going to get in trouble with the law. You're not going to, your academics have to be in order. You have to continue to develop on and off the field. And so they set these guidelines that they want that the committed prospects need to take to ensure that, to ensure that they keep trending upward.
Uh-huh.
And so when you say that, people always, a question that always comes up is, how does that take place to where, LSU tells a kid like, oh, well, we don't have a spot for you anymore, things like that. And with the way that they do the process of accepting commitments, they kind of lay that groundwork there to where, they've got an out if kids don't uphold their end of the bargain. And so, that's how when you say 22 commitments, and that's where it comes into play, is saying like, oh, well, they're probably closer to 18, 19, maybe 20.
Gotcha.
Leaving those spots open. But I think the places that you go, obviously, Jacobian Guillory, the big nose tackle out of Alexandria, he's a guy that they really want. They're going head-to-head with Alabama for him, too. I think he's a guy that jumps into this class. And then you start looking at some positions. Coy Moore, the wide receiver out of Archbishop Rummel, I think he's a guy that you pencil into this class right here. And then they really need to get an elite offensive tackle to go with who they already have in this class right here. They really need to address that need. I think you're going to see them go for another outside linebacker. They want to get at least another DB. They would like to get a running back. And so when you start looking at all of those numbers and crunching those numbers, there's going to be some tough decisions that the staff is going to have to make to be able to feel the needs that they have, set, and make some decisions on, okay, if we're going to come up a little short at one spot, where would that spot be?
Sonny Shipp, Go247 Sports. I'll end it on this question. It may not be fair at this point in time, but LSU's playing Alabama up in Tuscaloosa. Give me three freshmen that are coming into camp on Thursday. Three freshmen that you believe are going to be viable, major contributors on this club, if there are three.
Well, I think, and this may be me may be me taking the cheap way out, but I think Derek Stingley, you know, I think he's an obvious guy. I think he's going to be starting at cornerback. He's going to be one. Siaki Ika, you know, also goes by Apu Ika. You know, I think he's a guy right there at nose tackle who's going to be another one. And I tell you what, a guy who really, who kind of flew under the radar a little bit, because LSU has so much depth at receiver, but I think Trey Palmer's a guy. You know, Trey Palmer, the four-star receiver out of Kentwood, he's a kid who played basketball, baseball, football, ran track, never really had a chance to just focus on one sport. Now that he's doing that, he's had a really good summer, and they're expecting big things out of him at fall camp. Throw a couple more guys out there, though.
Yep.
I think the kicker, Cade York, you know, I think he's a guy who's going to have to come in. I don't think, you know, Cole Tracy probably spoiled LSU fans a little bit. I don't think Cade York's going to come in and have that same type of impact. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to be thrown into the fire. And he's, you know, he'll have his little bumps and bruises that he'll take. But I think by midseason, you'll start to see him kind of hit his, you know, hit his stretch and really start to kick the ball, you know, kick the ball really good. And then I think when you start looking at, you know, I think that you know, I think linebacker. And when you say linebacker, that's not an area that you're going to have, you know, that LSU really has to have somebody step up. But Kendall McCallum, the true freshman linebacker out of Alabama, if he has the fall camp, the type of fall camp that he had this summer, you know, he's a guy that if a couple of injuries occur inside, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts seeing some time ahead of some of the, you know, some of the other backups who may have been here a year before him.
Yeah, take it to the bank. That's Sonny Ship. Go to 47 Sports, Sonny. You didn't say John Emery. I was hoping you were going to say John Emery was going to be the breakout star, but we'll see.
The thing with running back, though, that I think you have to keep in mind is that you've got so many guys there fighting for carries. You've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You've got Tyrion Davis, Prince, Emery, Curry. You know, you just have a lot of guys there. I think Emery's going to make his mark. I just don't know if he's going to get enough carries to where he can really, you know, be that prime time player that some five stars do in their first year.
Sonny Ship, thank you so much, buddy. You take care of that family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Jordan.
Yeah, you're the best. Sonny Ship, go to 47 Sports. The latest from New Orleans Saints training camp, Jeff Duncan, next on the Jordy Helpert Show. Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helpert Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
So happy that the city of New Orleans, the state of Louisiana, all those that follow the Saints, the Pelicans, the Tigers, we didn't lose a great journalist. Jeff Duncan, we had him on before. It was his last days at NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, but The Athletic was smart and snatched him up. He joins in, and now they're over 500,000 subscribers. Jeff, it's time for a pay raise, and you've only been on the gig for about a week and a half or two. Good day.
Yeah. Hey, Jordy, cause and effect, right? We learned that back in high school, right? I'm just saying. Things are looking up for The Athletic.
I'm telling you, how has that transition been for you, man? That's congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Jordy. No, I'm excited. You know, for people, some of your listeners that might not be familiar with The Athletic, I mean, we're an online subscription-based sports writing site, and I have so many colleagues that have already been on board from all over the country, people I either worked with or worked, you know, around the scene. It's just a fascinating experiment, I think, in our industry, and I really think it's not even an experiment anymore. I mean, it's been around 3 years, 500,000 subscriptions, and it's just going to blow up, I think, in the next year or so. And I think people are going to look at The Athletic much the way the early days ESPN was around.
I agree.
And it was just a regional cable programming network in the Northeast, and now it's a, you know, an industry giant. I really think it's going to be like that.
two smart young guys out of San Francisco. It's just our offices are in San Francisco. It's just kind of amazing. You didn't have to pack up and move or anything. That is awesome. So you're covering the Saints. They've had 5 days in it. Are the Saints going to win the Super Bowl?
I think Emmanuel Butler is going to be the MVP, too. I think the hype train on him is going strong. But, look, we just left practice today. They get a break tomorrow. So, basically, the first week in the books. And, look, some guys are starting to get nicked up today. That's what happens about a weekend.
Right.
But the thing that I've noticed about this camp, Jordy, it's a little different than many of the camps I've covered. This team, because it's a veteran team, there's not a ton of position spots open. This is a very business-like camp. I mean, there's not a lot of rah-rah going on. There's no big motivational gimmicks. They don't need any of that with this team. This team's ready to go. I really think they could play a game tomorrow. I mean, there's not a lot for this team to learn. Obviously, they got some newcomers that have to get comfortable in the system, but this team is a veteran group with a bunch of players in that mid to early 20s prime, you know, those 2017, 2016 draft picks that have been in the league a couple of years, so they know what's going on, but they're still physically in their prime, so I think they're good to go.
Yeah, Sean can save those rah-rahs and all that motivational stuff for the night before the game and the day of the game to get the team emotionally into it. But I like that aspect that they know what they're doing and they're all business-like and very professional. Let's start with the guy that we're both big fans of, and that's Drew Brees, the ageless wonder. How has he looked in camp to you?
Well, he's looked like Drew Brees. I mean, he's, totally in command of the offense as usual. Now 14th year in the system. I don't see any decline in his performance or his physical ability. I know that's been kind of a trending topic among some of the fans. What I always find interesting about the arm strength discussion with Drew Brees, and somebody sees him maybe underthrow a deep ball, and it's a very conspicuous play, so it starts a lot of chatter. I mean, that's never been Drew Brees' game. You know,
right.
If this were Jeff George we're talking about, then you'd worry about it, but that's not what Drew Brees does. I mean, he manages the offense. He gets the Saints in and out of the right plays. He wins with anticipation, accuracy, timing. That's what Drew Brees is all about, and he still can throw the ball deep. They don't throw the ball that deep anyway. That's not been part of the Saints' passing attack. So I don't know why people fret over that. I don't think it's a factor. I think he's coming off the best year of his career, and I don't see any decline at all. He's a great leader of men, and he wins as much with his intangibles as he does his tangibles. The Saints are going to see – I guess people are going to be in for a rude awakening when Drew Brees finally does hang it up. Because this guy, I think, Jordy, is underrated, if anything, on just how great a player he is. And
I'm with you.
You just see a drop-off. Whoever comes in after him, even with Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill, who are two fine quarterbacks behind him. But there's a drop-off when they come in there. You just see it. This guy's an elite quarterback. The Saints are very fortunate to have him.
And I think that's the reason for his longevity. Back to your point, I mean – they don't ask him to throw the ball like a Ben Roethlisberger 60 yards down the field. He's not carrying a lot of weight. He's not a big, big guy. He's an average kind of guy who keeps himself in great shape. He gets rid of the ball quickly. He beats you with his mind. I think that's why he's lasted so long.
Yeah, great observation. And, I'm actually working on a book project about Drew and Sean Payton and the Saints offense that's going to come out next year. And the more research I do, the more people I talk to, former teammates, coaches, current teammates, coaches, the more you just come away in awe. They're all in awe of him. And that gets back to my earlier point. I think he's actually underrated. I think he's the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. And I know he's never won one MVP, which I think is almost criminal that he's never won it, because he's clearly what makes the New Orleans Saints what they are, and the Saints need to try and hang on to him as long as they can. It's going to be back to reality when Drew Brees leaves.
Keep drafting those big offensive linemen to protect him, and get acquisitions like Jared Cook. And I've got to believe that he's the happiest veteran in a training camp, getting to work with Drew Brees. And how has that chemistry looked to you?
Yeah, they look like they've been playing together for a decade. It's amazing. They didn't even spend that much time together before camp because Drew was out in California with his lawsuit. So it's really been, a fast-track process. And if you watch practice, Jordy, Drew throws almost every down to Cook. And it's not because he's always open. It's because he's getting used to the nuances and the timing and how he likes to run certain routes. Drew does everything with a purpose in mind, and the purpose right now is trying to get ready for September. And so he is purposely trying to connect with Jared Cook as often as possible because he knows they need him to take some of the pressure off Mike Thomas and Alvin Kamara in this offense. People cannot afford to double-team those two guys if you have a big-time pass-receiving tight end threat on the weak side, and I think that's what we're going to see.
Are we going to see Michael Thomas in training camp eventually?
Well, you know, we asked Mickey Loomis about it today as he was coming off the field, and he kind of laughed and said, "Look, you know, you'll know as soon as I do, because you know, he feels like the ball's in the court of Mike Thomas right now." I don't think it's a big deal, but it is a deal. I mean, the fact is, Mike Thomas is the first player to hold out in the Drew Brees, Sean Payton era. It just doesn't happen very often. And he's the best receiver on this team. He's the best receiver probably they've ever had in a New Orleans Saints uniform. And they need him back, but they'll get him back eventually. This deal is going to get done. You know, deadlines spur negotiations. And as the season approaches, I think we'll see a lot more movement from both sides to get a deal done.
He's the kind of guy, I think he wouldn't have to practice at all, step in game one and produce. I think they're just on the same page. I know he's keeping himself in great shape. I don't think it's a big deal at all. Hey, Jeff Duncan of The Athletic talking to us. Eric McCoy looks like DJ Khaled and Drake, a combination. That's the oldest looking rookie I've ever seen.
Great. That's a great point. I didn't think about it, but you're right. He doesn't look like a guy right out of college. And I think the Saints would love to see him win that starting job, but he's going to have to earn it. They're not going to hand it to him. And he's in a competition right now with Nick Easton and the young kid from Baton Rouge, Cameron Tom, who's played very well so far in camp. They've got really good interior depth on this team, probably the best they've had in a long time. They've got a number of guys that could start for other teams in the league. And I know they also like Will Clapp a lot, you know, the young kid from LSU. So, you know, I think if Eric McCoy plays well in the preseason, doesn't make a lot of mental errors, knows his assignments, he's physically ahead of the other players there. He's just a bigger, stronger human being. But he's got to get it down mentally, and that's a big ask for a rookie to come in and step into the starting lineup. But he knows the opportunities at hand for him, and from everything I've been able to gather, he's been in the playbook every night. So I do think he'll end up being the starter. It's kind of his job to lose. But that doesn't mean that they're going to hand it to him. You know, they like too many other players on this team to just grant a job to a rookie.
So, Jeff Duncan of The Athletic, we've talked about all the positive things. What's the area of concern for you with this ball club, with so many veterans that have been in the system, been to – you know, within a stone's throw of a Super Bowl, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Where are your areas of concern?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the pass defense is still an area that needs to be improved. I want to see another pass rusher step up without Sheldon Rankins. A lot of the pressure, I think, falls on Cam Jordan. Can Marcus Davenport, the second-year player, emerge opposite him and take some of the protection away from the offensive side of the ball and slide it over away from Cam Jordan? Can they defend a great, you know, quarterback? I mean, they struggled last year against the Ben Roethlisbergers and Matt Ryans of the world to defend. I think if Marshawn Lattimore goes down, this team could be in big trouble, you know. And I guess the bigger concern I have is that. I mean, last year Jordy, a lot of things went the Saints' way. I mean, they had a lot of breaks. They played teams at the right time. You know,
yes, they did.
They got Carolina late in the season when Cam Newton was hurt. Yeah. They were 6-2 at one point, looked like playoff contenders. The Saints played both their games against them late in the year when Newton's not even playing and he's banged up. They get the Falcons the week after Deebo Jones and Keanu Neal goes down. They're able to steal a game on the road. They get some missed kicks by Justin Tucker and the Browns. Yeah. I mean, things That's went right. their way. And their core players, other than Terron Armstead, all played 16 games. Just go down the list. Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Mike Thomas, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Marshawn Lattimore, none of them missed a game. That's not going to happen again. There's going to be more adversity this year, and they're probably not going to get as many breaks. And this team, I think, could be as good or better than last year and not be as good in the one-loss standings because of that.
Nobody's really talking about the factor that Mark Ingram's no longer here. Is the guy from Minnesota that came over, is he filling that role? And do you like what you see so far? Because Ingram, say what you want, boy, he was good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that would be an area of concern. Again, it goes back to this team's so good and so stacked. Your concerns are the what-ifs. What if Alvin Kamara goes down? And I think that's why the Saints showed interest in Theo Reddick and brought him in for a visit yesterday. They want to improve the depth there. Latavius Murray, they signed in free agency. He's going to be the backup. He's going to take a lot of the first and second down reps and fill in for Alvin Kamara. I think he'll work in on goal line and short yardage situations. But they need more experience depth there. They have signed Rob Kelly, the former Tulane standout from right here in New Orleans, played for the Washington Redskins. He was in camp today, and I think they're going to continue to churn that roster behind Murray and Kamara to try and find another back there, because we all know, man, running back is a collision position.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can count on Alvin Kamara being there, especially if they increase his workload like you expect them to do without Mark Ingram there. So I think that's another area that they're probably not going to be quite as good as they were a year ago because they don't have Mark Ingram.
Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. So is Emmanuel Butler, I mean, I've seen these kids like at LSU spring games, like, holy cow, look at this guy. Never sees the field when it counts. So is Emmanuel Butler legit in your mind? You've seen enough to know.
Well, yeah, that's a great observation. I'm very slow to jump on those training camp hype trains. I've seen too many guys flash and then they're gone 2 weeks later. But I will say this about it. He stacked a bunch of good days on top of each other. Now, he tweaked himself today and actually missed the second half of practice, so we don't know how severe that was. But there's a lot to like about him. He's a big, strong athlete. Goes up and makes a lot. He reminds me a little bit of like a poor man's Marcus Colston, and he's not blazingly fast, but he's got great hands. He catches the ball in traffic, got good body control. So he makes a lot of those contested catches that we see the Saints do a lot. We see Mike Thomas make a lot of those catches where you're catching it in traffic because Drew Brees is going to put it right there over the defender's shoulder, and the receiver's got to go up and make that catch. So he's not necessarily blowing the cornerback away with his speed, but he's able to have the awareness to go up and make it in traffic. We're going to find out a lot more about him in the next few weeks. You know, can he turn it on when the bright lights come on in preseason games? Can he continue to maintain this? But so far, I think it's a good sign, put it this way, Jordy, that they released Cam Meredith as they did yesterday.
Yes.
That, to me, indicated they've got a lot of confidence in these young receivers.
Took the words right out of my mouth. That's why you're Jeff Duncan of The Athletic, the best in the business. So glad you didn't have to go back to Louisville or whatever it was. You're a New Orleanian, man. You need to stay put, and I'm glad you are. So thank you for the time, my friend, and congratulations again. You deserve it.
Thanks so much, George. Thanks for having me on. And, next time you're in town, we'll hit the scene and enjoy some of this great cuisine. That's why I couldn't leave.
I'm ready.
I
don't have to wait in line with Jeff Duncan. It's straight to the front. I love it. I'm in. I am in. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. That's it.
We're behind the ropes, behind the velvet ropes when you come with me.
Get out of here. Go do some work, man. Thank you for your time. That's Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. Yeah, Saints really could tee it up today and play. And they got that much experience and that much depth and that much know-how. Again, Jeff touched on it, and it's so accurate. Very fortunate a year ago from an injury perspective. The chance of that happening again, slim. Who's going to step up? We'll see. We're back to wrap things up after this.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, a busy, busy day. Paul Venneri addressed the media. We heard from Will Wade today. Recruiting news, Saints news. Always something happening. Efforting to get Billy Napier on, working with the UL administration on that one. We're trying. We'll see. Sometimes it's tough to get those head coaches, but this close to football season. But we're working on it. Again, busy day. Let's do our history lesson as we close things out today. Got a couple for you because it was on this day, July 30th, the year 1959. In his major league debut, San Francisco Giant Willie McCovey only goes 4-for-4. What a battery mate it was, as you had Willie Mays batting third from the right-hand side and then Willie McCovey batting cleanup from the left-handed side. Back and forth at old Candlestick Park. Quite a tandem. Got to see them in person as a kid, and they both took it yard, back to back. It was a thrill to watch the big stick. Willie McCovey went 4-for-4 in his debut on this day, 1959. Also on this day, 1990, Commissioner Faye Vincent forced George Steinbrenner to resign as a principal partner of the New York Yankees. Had some gambling issues and things and the whatnot. So some of the people that George was hanging around, Faye Vincent not so good for the image of baseball. And he said, nope. So two events on this day, July the 30th, in the world of baseball. If today's your birthday, and happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Happy 78th birthday, still singing, Paul Anka. Happy 72nd birthday, still pumping weights and putting out movies, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And from Friends fame, happy 56th birthday to Lisa Kudrow, who one of the few that had a nice career after Friends on the big screen. So Lisa Kudrow celebrating a birthday as well. So happy birthday to all of you that are listening. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. So special thanks, Will Wade, for sharing some time with us. They're getting ready to go to Spain. That's pretty good. 88% of his players, he says, can deadlift 500 or more pounds. They've got personal records in the banks, the clean, the leg squat, and they've got no soft tissue injuries, so they're doing things right basketball-wise. I think they're going to have a great year. I really do. Special thanks to Sonny Shipp for the latest in recruiting news, and of course, Jeff Duncan of The Athletic, all things Nollins with the New Orleans Saints. CD, job well done. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our partners that make it possible. Hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday. Come on back Wednesday, same time, 2-4, same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helper. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.
Live.
from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette. 1037 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663.
Buying car insurance is never entertaining, fun, or easy. Let's be clear on that. It's never cheap, and I, for one, can think of other ways to spend my money. So when you get ready to buy your car insurance, I know you'll want the best coverage at the lowest price. I'm Greg, CEO of Go Auto Insurance, and here's how we can help. Call 233-1000 for a fast free quote that can save you hundreds on your car insurance. You may not know this, but Go Auto does not sell homeowners, motorcycle, life, or any other kind of insurance. The only kind of insurance we sell is auto insurance, and we are the best. Call, visit us, or go online to see how much you can save. Can Go Auto Insurance save you money? You won't know if you don't call now. 233-1000 and start saving money today.
Go! Go! Go Auto! Go! Go! Go Auto!
Where do you go? Where are you looking for action? Where do you go? When you're looking for fun, new friends you're gonna meet. More fun than Bourbon Street.